Thank you, worship team. Beloved in the Lord, praise God once again. Praise God once again. The Lord is good all the time. Has it not been the goodness of the Lord? I don't know where our life would have been by today. And for that matter, I really appreciate the goodness of the living God upon our lives. For He has really been good. Because all we are enjoying today, all we are seeing today, it's not because of us, or it's not because of something so peculiar about us. It's not that we've offered something to Him, and for that matter, He is just doing it to compensate us. No. Out of His own great love, He loved us. While we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to come and die for our sins. So we did not do anything to merit God's love. And so when we come before Him at the gathering like this, I want you to just shake off all that you are going through. Just forget about your tears. Forget about all that you are bothered with. And just focus on Him who had loved you. For if He had not loved you, your life would not have come this far. And so I just want to encourage you. It's a great opportunity every time when you come to the presence of the living God to acknowledge His love, to appreciate what He has done for you. Just forget about the struggles. Forget about the pain, the sorrow, the disappointment that you are going through. For He cares for you. And as you focus on Him, He will never let you down. Amen. I'm here to talk on the topic fasting. Fasting. Is it a forgotten discipline or a regular practice in our day? That is the question that I want us to ponder over. Because it used to be a spiritual act of discipline for the church in the apostolic days. It was also noted about the Jewish culture that they were people who were fasting. But is this something that in our days is forgotten or neglected? Or we are practicing it as a regular act of spiritual discipline before God? Our main text will be taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 58, from verse 1 down to 14. Beloved in the Lord, in this world, it is believed that for any minister of God to have a successful kind of ministry for not less than 30 years, the person ought to at least undergo a training of not less than 3 years. That is the concept of this world. But when you look in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, He had the reverse. He spent 30 good years in preparing for the ministry that lasted 3.5 years. And in this situation, what does that tell us? That is to tell us that our Lord Jesus Christ really valued the time of preparation. He really understood the time of preparing for maybe an assignment or a mission that you are planning to embark on. And so He attached much importance into one of the spiritual disciplines that is required of every believer, that is fasting. Christ invested into fasting 40 days and 40 nights without food before starting His ministry. And that is to tell us that He attached much importance to that and really valued that particular act of discipline. And so in our life, if we are called by Him, then how ought our life ought to be? How should our life be as He is the perfect example that we are following? This year has been declared as a year of authentic Christian living. But for us to live such a life and be victorious, then we must be empowered by God to overcome all obstacles in our life. And some of these obstacles cannot just be moved by a mere prayer, or maybe a long prayer, or maybe whatever kind of prayer. But some of them require that we add fasting to it. And therefore, fasting this year in our life is something that I see it as an indispensable factor if we want to live that authentic Christian living. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Our awesome and everlasting Father, once again we come before you. We invite you, Lord, to be the head of this gathering, as you have enabled our lives, Lord, to be this as we are today, and have blessed us with this morning, Father. We commit all that is about us unto you. We commit all that we are here for before you, asking that may your Holy Spirit come and take control. Make manifest your will regarding to fasting. Draw us, Lord, into the acts, O Lord, of fasting, that we will know the importance that goes with fasting. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, I'm so much aware about some of the ways that when you look at the Old Testament, the Jewish were fasting. And when you read our main text, that is the Isaiah 58, God was telling the children of Israel at that moment that the kind of fasting that they are fasting, which is not his chosen kind of fasting. And afterwards, he told them the kind of fasting that he has chosen for them to embark on. And so over there, it made it very clear that there were people, or the Christians in the Old Testament were fasting. It was a regular act of spiritual discipline that they were in. Some were in it wrongly, yet they were practicing it. And my main point here is that as much as God acknowledges it and wants us to practice it, that means that it goes with some kind of power and blessing. And so when you read the Isaiah 58, all that goes with the chosen kind of fasting that God has chosen for us. If we go by that, there are blessings and there are power that goes with it. And so this morning, I'm just here to challenge you, for you to know that even though of the wrong motive and the attitude that they were using in fasting, which even occurred even in the book of Acts, some 40 men or more purpose in their hearts never to eat anything until they've seen the death of Apostle Paul. And that was the wrong way of fasting. The motive and the attitude behind the fasting was wrong. I fully acknowledge this. But all the same, God still wants us to fast. He still wants us to fast. And so, to start with, what is biblical fasting? When you talk of biblical fasting, we are talking about the discipline of abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. The discipline of abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It is one of the most powerful weapons that every believer is equipped with. That is fasting. And the extent of its power, I lack words to describe them. Because I don't know whether there will be any preacher who could have the needed vocabulary to describe how powerful fasting is. And fasting too is one of the secret weapons of a believer. And it seems to be so secret that many believers don't even know that they have it. And so they just continue in their struggle. They continue in their life of worry and disappointment. Whereas the tool is right in their hands to use it. So, fasting is something that believers are equipped with. So what is true fasting? True fasting brings humility and alignment with God. It breaks the power of the flesh and control of demons over our lives. When we come before the Lord in true fasting, we get ourselves humbled before Him. And our will gets aligned with God's will. And the power of flesh is being subjected. And the demons' control over our lives are being cast away. That is the power in fasting. It kills unbelief and brings answers to our prayer when you might have tried all means. Fasting is not a magic, as some people sometimes think it is. Fasting is not twisting God's arm in trying to get what you want. And fasting is not an exchange to your desire that because I had fasted, this thing must be done. Because I have waited on God, I must get an answer as I want. Fasting is not like that.
Even though God is interested of your well-being, want to heal you from that sickness, want that breakthrough to come in your life, but if your fasting is not a chosen kind of fasting that God has outlined in Isaiah chapter 58, then forget it. Because no amount of prayer and no length of fasting can convert that wrong motive into a right motive. And as long as the motive behind your fasting is not correct and it's not aligned to God's will, your fasting will not attract the hand of God to bring about the change that you need in your life. Beloved, fasting is not fasting if it is not based on, or if it does not cost you. If fasting, the fasting that you are going through is as a result of, maybe personally, I'm not a fan of breakfast. And so I can decide that every day in my life, I'll miss breakfast and I'll be fasting. And that is not costing me. And so in a situation like that, I need to add my lunch. To inflict pain on my body so that my flesh could be humbled. So that the Spirit of God will be active, connected to God to know His will and His purpose. Because if I just miss my breakfast, that will not be enough to break my body down for the Spirit of God to be active in me. Because when our stomach are full, the Spirit gets starved. When our system, our flesh is at comfort, the Spirit is at the state of discomfort. If you realize this with your personal life, when all things seems that your body is okay, you feel you are comfortable, think about your spiritual life. Think about your spiritual life. So at moments of fasting, it must cost you. And that is why David said, for I will not offer anything unto my living God. That would not cost me. It is not just limited to maybe offering alone. Or maybe giving something as a maybe a burnt offering to the Lord alone. But then anything that we are offering to the Lord, because the fasting is not for you, it's unto the Lord. And so we are offering it unto the Lord. And so if it does not cost us, it will lack the needed impact. So if maybe your lunch too is not enough, add your dinner. If the dinner too is not enough, do it maybe up to midnight. It's still accepted. And so, just think about your own life, that you are offering it to the Lord, and then sacrifice something unto our living God. And when you read something in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verse 29, the Bible says, hold a sacred assembly and deny yourself. Those who do not deny themselves on the day must be cut off from their people. And so, this confirms the fact that we ought to do fasting with a cost. We have to come before God when fasting with self-denial, costing you of something. And so, when we come before the Lord, it should not be a routine. And that is why when you read the Isaiah chapter 58, the verse 6 and 7, it says, is it not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wandering with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Is it not this kind that God has asked us, which involves sacrifice, which involves ensuring justice, which involves setting those under the yoke of bondage free? It's not this kind of fasting, providing shelter for those in need, helping even your own family members. It's not this kind that God has access. And all this is in the act of sacrifice. Letting go of something that you probably value so much in your life for the sake of just meeting a need of somebody and honoring the name of the living God over that person's life. And this kind of spiritual discipline seems to have been neglected in our days. The quality and effectiveness of fasting. This, when we fast, often we think that the length of fasting is something that probably will guarantee the quality of it. But then when you read the Isaiah chapter 58, it talks about the motives and the attitude behind your fasting. That makes it quality or not quality. not the length at which you might have fasted, whether 100 days or the whole year. If the motive behind that fasting, the attitude behind that fasting is not right, forget it. Because God will not honor it. If you read it, He won't. But when you go by it according to His chosen purpose or His chosen plan, you'll be amazed the kind of blessings and the power that you release on your life. And so here in Isaiah 58, we are told that God did not like the kind of fasting the children of Israel were fasting by then. But He did not end there. He went further to explain or to tell them the kind of fasting that He requires of them. And in the book of Acts chapter 23, verse 12 and 13, as I've already said, over 40 Jews purposed in their mind never to eat. They were fasting purposely for the death of Apostle Paul. They were Jews. They were not unbelievers. They were believers. That means that believers can also fast wrongly with the wrong motive and wrong attitude. And because of that, their prayers were not answered. So when we fast, our heart must be right. Our motives must be pure and correct. Then our God will answer. If we pray and fast for the wrong thing, no amount of prayer and no length of fasting can make that wrong thing correct for God to answer. God will still want us to set our motives right. Beloved in the Lord, talking to you about fasting does not mean that I'm the master of it. I am not. And as the Spirit of God speaks through me to you this morning, He's also speaking to me. We are all learning together. And it's an area that is so vast that if we are to maybe cover it today, this time will not be enough. And so my focus this morning is just to base on the power and the blessings that goes with fasting, if you do it the right way. And to address that, I'll be focusing on just four questions. And the first one is, who is to fast? How do we fast? Why do we fast? And when do we fast? So who is to fast? As a matter of fact, I'm so much aware about doctors' advice as to why some people don't have to fast. But that is not also to say that it is impossible for them to fast. Even though of the doctor's advice, it is not to say that it is impossible. Because before God, there is nothing like impossible. It is not impossible for that person not to fast. It depends on the kind of fasting that that person will undergo. And which will be coming to that as we go on. Beloved, I'm not here to accuse anybody. Neither am I here to force anybody to do something that maybe he's not ready to do. No. But as a matter of fact, I must also present what the truth is. And the truth is, all can fast. But it depends on the kind of fasting that you decide to do. And so, the question still stands, who must fast? Who is to fast? Is it for the Old Testament believers? Or for the New Testament believers, like the church in the days of the apostles. Or fasting is meant for only people who are called to fast. Or those that are gifted. Or the priest, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist. Are they the people that God had called to fast? But not me and not you? Who is to fast? When you look at the book of Leviticus chapter 15 verse 29, the Bible says in the Old Testament that on the day of atonement, every one of the children of Israel fast and pray. On the day of atonement, and this is to tell us that at least once in every year, all members of the children of Israel, they fasted and prayed. Even aliens in their household also partake in that because they have come to join that house. And so all and sundry fast and pray during that day. And when you look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, it's recorded over there that King David fasted. We have so many people in the Bible. Moses fasted. Elijah fasted. The apostles, they fasted. Our Lord Jesus Christ fasted. And therefore made his ministry an extraordinary ministry. Beloved in the Lord, anyone born of the Spirit and of water, you must fast. Anyone born of God, you must fast. So all are bound to fast. But then the disciples of Jesus Christ were not fasting when Jesus Christ was with them. And so the people around were so worried, and they confronted Jesus Christ about that. And so in the book of Matthew 9, 14 and 15, Jesus told them and said unto them, can the children of the bride's chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. The days will come when the bridegroom will no longer be with them. And at that, those days will be the time for them to fast. And those days are now. Christ is no longer with us, physically. And so it demands on us, if we want to demonstrate that power and authority that Christ exhibited, then we have to also practice or live the life that he led. And that is a prayer and fasting life. And so we all ought to fast. So the next question is, how do we fast? How do we fast? When you read something in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 17 and 18, it says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. When you fast, our fast must be in quietness. We must maintain our composure, our mood. Not because today I'm fasting, I have disfigured myself. I will not take a shower. I will not oil myself to make myself so obvious, sounding so loud for people to know that this boy is not in the right mood. Our fasting must not be like that. Our fasting must be in quietness. In the state that you are today, that you are not fasting. If you are fasting, maintain that composure. Maintain that mood in quietness. Even at your workplace, don't let people quickly irritate you because you feel hungry. If you are at the lab or whatever you find yourself doing, please try and maintain that quietness that the Lord has blessed us with. That is why Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Our commanding officer here is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has an assignment for you. Your focus is not about the civilian activities around you, but to please him. So what do you need to do? You need to keep your mood. You need to maintain that composure, so that you not get entangled with the affairs of this world. So how do we fast? We must fast in secret. For our Father who sees in secret will reward us. And in this situation, that secretness is not like getting into maybe a small wardrobe somewhere, whereby nobody sees you, and you'll be there in the wardrobe for the number of hours you want to fast. No. Because maybe in your hall, your children will be around, so it has to be secret. So I have to be in my closet alone. No. That secretness that he's talking about is us not making public show of our fasting. Like the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing. They'll be standing in public with their face disfigured and all of people knowing that they are fasting. Making public showcase of their speech is what God wants us to avoid. And so he wants us to do it in secret, whereby it will be some kind of communion between us and our living God. And that is also not to say that when you happen to let a friend know about it, because maybe he had invited you for a lunch or a dinner, and you realize that you are in a state at which you will not be willing to join that person. It is not wrong to let the friend know that, my friend, this is my condition now. It's just that I will not be able to join you today, but next time around I'll join you. It's not wrong. And also this is not to say that declaring maybe a congregational kind of fasting to is wrong because you're making it public. That is not it. But where we go our own way to satisfy our ego, to satisfy our own flesh, to let people know that we are also spiritual, That is why we are not doing it in secret. We are doing it to receive reward from people. And the Bible says, at that situation, you have already obtained your reward. Our fasting must be in faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6 verse 11, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists. And he is the one who rewards those who diligently seek him. And so fasting must also be in faith. You cannot fast believing in the fasting. No. If you maybe base your faith on that act, it's like you are making that act as maybe the response to your need. No. The faith must be in God, the one that you are fasting unto. And so faith is required when we come before the Lord in fasting. When we fast, we must fast unto the Lord. In Zechariah chapter 7 verse 5, it says, speak unto the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fast and mourn in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me? Even to me, was the question that God was asking them. And it was the same question that God was asking the children of God in Isaiah 58. That their fasting was unto themselves, but not unto God. And so they might have fasted so many times in a year. Even 70 years, they kept on fasting. But little did they know that all those times, the fasting was not unto the Lord. And so we can embark on fasting, but not unto the Lord, probably unto ourselves. So what are the types of fasting? The very first one is the normal fasting. That is abstinence from food and break your fast at intervals, especially during evenings. And this is the commonly known fast in the Jewish culture, that they start their fasting from morning 6 to evening, in the evening 6 o'clock. And Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, went beyond the normal. He added the night without food, but he drank water. He fasted day and night without food. And that made him an extraordinary person. The second kind of fasting is the absolute fasting. That is abstaining from food and water. And this particular thing normally don't have to exceed 3 days. Even though we have some people in the Bible who fasted for more than 3 days without food and water, they were specifically led by God himself. So unless one is led by the Spirit of God to go beyond 3 days, it is not advisable for one to abstain from food and water beyond 3 days. The records that we have in the Bible, when you read something in the book of Acts chapter 9 verse 9, Apostle Paul, when he got blinded on the way to Damascus, when he met Christ, the Bible says he did not eat or drink anything for 3 days. Acts chapter 9 verse 9. In the book of Esther told Mordecai to go and gather all the Jews in Shushan and for them to embark on 3 days fasting without food and water, as she and all her maids would also do likewise, for her to approach the king even though she was not asked to come. And so these are the normal kind of dry fasting that occurred in the Bible and did not exceed 3 days. But then those that were led into 40 days prayer and fasting for without food and water, you can see an example of Moses in Exodus chapter 34 verse 28. When he fasted before God 40 days and 40 nights without feeling it, because the presence of God was feeding him. He was fed by the presence of God. And before God, it looked like there is no distance, there is no range time. There is nothing like distance. And so the 40 days, he did not even know that it has lasted for 40 days. And we can also see an example in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 8. Elijah also went through the same process. 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. And these are exceptional cases. If you are led by the Spirit of God to go, that's fine. Nobody will be stopping you. But if not, the normal that you need is don't go beyond 3 days. The final, the last kind of fast type of fasting is the partial fasting. That is restricting diet of certain foods or a meal in a day. And this is the kind of fasting that will probably be recommended for people under medical advice. that you can't exchange your heavy diet in the morning with maybe a soft one. Maybe you should take a heavy diet in the morning so that you may get the needed strength as probably you want. But then in exchange to maybe something that is a little lighter than that, it's not wrong. You will not die, you will still survive. And that is the kind of fasting that some people in the Bible practice, particularly Daniel. You can maybe escape your breakfast for the sake of maybe a time with the Lord. And this is also a kind of fasting. Because the Bible says that they told the guard to take away their choicest food and the wine they were to drink and to give them vegetables instead. They took away their choicest food and the wine that they were to drink. So you can also maybe for one day or maybe an hour, maybe a certain number of hours, forgo your choicest food. Just reduce the quantity or maybe change it for something lighter and come before the Lord in prayer and see. Because the main object here is to just humble yourself, to bring your body under subjection so that the Spirit of God will be strong in you. To get connected to God, and sometimes for the prayers you've been praying for so long a time. It's not that God has not heard. Probably he wants you to take a step of faith. He has been speaking to you, but because your stomach is full, you hardly could hear. But as you empty it a little, your spirit becomes active and you become sensitive to what the Lord is asking you. And you just take that step and it looks as if it's a magic. It's not magic. God wants us to embark in fasting. So at least we can maybe choose out of the three the kind that would be suitable for us. And that can be found in Daniel chapter 1 verse 16 and Daniel chapter 10 verse 3, where Daniel practiced this kind of fasting. So why do we fast? Why do we fast? The first answer that I would like to give is that because our Lord Jesus Christ fasted. We have to fast because our Lord Jesus Christ fasted. In Matthew 4, 1 to 11. At the start of his ministry, he fasted. And he is our perfect example, beloved. We are following him. And it's he who is even the Son of God, with power unlimited, yet undergo fasting. How much more us? That at the start of a new business, we will not go before God in fasting. Family crucial decisions, because we think that, oh, we have the means, we can get everything connected. We don't even go before God in fasting. And when things begin to crumble, then we begin to look around and then probably not even going back to God, apportioning blame. Forgetting that even though God has given to us, yet we have to seek his will about it. And by so doing, it calls for us to undergo fasting. Christ could have begun his ministry without praying or fasting. Yes, he is setting a precedent for us that at the start of any major thing in our life, it could be a job that you had maybe landed yourself. That is a well-paid job. You don't have to quickly, out of joy, just jump into it. Half a day fasting will not kill you. A day prior to that meeting for you to sign that contract will not kill you. A time with God before you commission that new company will not kill you. God requires that at the start of many things in our life, we get back to him through fasting and prayer. And you'll be amazed what the Lord will do when you commit it back to him, because he has given it to you. And because of this, some blessings in our life have become something like a curse. Because we are unable to handle it. The things God has blessed us with, because we did not go back to him for direction, for leading, we are handling it with our own ideas, with our own understanding. And therefore, that blessing has become a curse on our life, hindering us and becoming a problem to us. So our Lord Jesus Christ fasted, so we have to also fast. The apostles fasted. In the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, it became a regular discipline for them. Therefore, they were filled with power for the growth of the church. We all cry that we need to see or we want to see the power that was available during the apostolic age. Yet we fail to practice their lifestyle. They were not just to be people who were regularly fasting. We talk about the shadow of Apostle Peter healing the sick on the roadside. People were rushing to go to come and lay their sick on the road So perchance, maybe the shadow of Apostle Peter will fall on them and they will be healed. People were rushing. And when you read all these things in the book of Acts, how do you feel? Are those powers limited to them alone? The handkerchief and the aprons that touched Apostle Paul were being sent to those that were sick and were healed and were used to drive away evil spirits. What made them so exceptional is their acts of spiritual discipline. They were so much involved in fasting and praying. And so that made them so exceptional. The power is not limited to them alone. When we begin to practice it, we also begin to feel the impact in our life. Jesus taught his disciples to do it for power to overcome demons. That is Mark chapter 9, verse 14 down to 29. When they were faced with that dumb and deaf spirit man, and they couldn't cast that spirit out, the Bible says when Jesus came, they reported the case to him. And he just spoke to that evil spirit to leave, and the spirit obeyed and left. In a secret time, the disciples approached Jesus Christ. Why didn't we able to cast this spirit out? And he told them that for such a thing could not be unless by prayer and what? Fasting. And that tells us that fasting is something that is required of us as believers. Because there are some situations, your lengthy prayer will not be enough. There are some situations, all that you are maybe empowered to do as a believer will not be enough. It requires that you fast to be able to dispossess the enemy from what he is possessing in your life. And so it is also bound for us to fast. Some challenges in our families, in our job lives, being controlled by evil spirit and demons. You might have been praying for so long a time, yet you are not seeing progress. I would like to suggest to you, why don't you add fasting and make it a regular act in your life? It could be in your week. It could be in your maybe monthly. And I can assure you that you will never regret your day. Beloved in the Lord, it helps to prepare and empower us for a closer walk with God. Fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal our true spiritual condition, resulting into brokenness, repentance, and a transformed life. The Holy Spirit will quicken the Word of God in our hearts, and His truth will be made more meaningful to us. Many of us have been reading the Bible, and we still have so much to even find out about it. But when you come before the Lord in fast, it will amaze you how the Spirit of God will begin to give you meaning to all that you've read. The Spirit of God will begin to teach you, will begin to enlighten you, and you'll be amazed. And you can find those references in the life of Daniel, in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel 10 verse 1, Matthew 4. Then when do we then fast? That's the final question. When do we then fast? In the book of Mark chapter 6 verse 16, Jesus said, when you fast, and when here is not if you, it's not if maybe you are gifted, or maybe you are anointed to fast, or you are specially set apart to fast, no. But when you are in need, when there is a situation that you want God's intervention. So when a nation needs God's intervention, when a family needs God's intervention, when a job or a business needs God's intervention, when an individual needs God's intervention, then one ought to come before the Lord in fasting. So unless you have to tell me that you don't have any need before God, then you can stay away from fasting. And so when you read something in the book of Jonah chapter 3 verse 5 to 9, when the news came to the king about God's judgment on that land, right from the king to the least person in the kingdom, at that moment, at Nineveh, the Bible says that all of them fasted and they obtained God's grace. They obtain God's mercy. When you humble yourself, you can attract the mercies of God in your life. And this comes most often when we fast and we subject our flesh, and then the Spirit of God becomes active in us. In Esther chapter 4 verse 16, the same record is there. When they fasted, even though it was not required for Esther to come before the king, yet he went and the Lord gave her favor before the king. And that can happen to your life. That there are situations that you realize that the judgment has been passed. They've declared there is no way in returning back. But I'm here to tell you, God can still revert that judgment if you go before him in fasting. When we are in desperate need, like Hannah was in desperate need, in need of a child. been under mockery by her rival for so long a time. But then he did not give up. She did not give up. One time, being provoked as usual, she decided to fast. And she stayed away from food, praying in the house of God. And the Lord heard her and gave her a son by name Samuel. You can see that record in 1 Samuel 1, 7 and 8. When in need of protection, Ezra, when they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, on their way, when they got to the river of Ahava, and they realized that because Ezra felt that their God, the God of protection, and they don't need any army to protect them on the way. When they got there, and he realizes that the way is not as smooth as that, because there are people on the way which may like to attack them, he declared a fast for God to show them the way for their life, for their little ones, and for their substances. And God was entreated by their fasting. When you need a protection, it could be in your business, in your marriage, whatever, beloved, try fasting before the living God. When any major change has to take place in your life, little did Barnabas and Saul know at that moment that God's commission was upon their life. Until the church at that time declared prayer and fasting, which is in the book of Acts chapter 13. And at that particular prayer and fasting meeting, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." A great change occurred in their life, not because they were so extraordinary, but because the church declared a prayer and fasting moment, and they were all together in one accord, praying, the Spirit of God turned their life around. They were able to discover their mission in life. You are looking for a vision. Your dream seems to be very bleak. And so you hardly could even take a step of faith in your life. But then I'm here to tell you, if you trust God in prayer and fasting, there could be a change in your situation. God can bring about that major change that you've been desiring for all these years. And so in moments of embarking on maybe looking for a major change in your life, try prayer and fasting, and you'll be amazed what the Lord can do. When ordaining men into ministry, the elders or pastors were ordained in an atmosphere of prayer and fasting. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. So the elders of the church, the pastors of the church, were all ordained into ministry under the atmosphere of prayer and fasting. When we need to seek the Lord, in the book of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 to 4, and the verse 17, when Jehoshaphat was surrounded by three kingdoms, and he felt fearful, he then declared a fast in the land, and all the land joined him. And now because of that, the Bible says God himself ambushed their enemies, and then destroyed them all. So when we need to seek the Lord, last but not the least, when we need blessings and prosperity, in Isaiah chapter 58, reading from the verse 6 to 9, it talks about so many blessings, that when we do the blessings, that the kind of fasting God has chosen, we would have these blessings. We would have the light of God, we would have health, we would have righteousness, we would have God's glory, and our prayers would be answered. And finally, when we are concerned of others, who among us don't have a concern about anything in life? You may show by hand. You don't have a concern for your father who is an unbeliever. You don't have a concern for your kids that are living a wayward life. You don't have a concern for your husband who is not converted. You don't have a concern for people around you. Then you don't have to fast. But if you have a concern, then I'm here to tell you that you have to fast. David had a concern for even his enemies. And therefore, in moments where they were even plotting, even when they were sick, he will be fasting for them. And so, what kind of concern do you have this morning? In the book of Psalm 35, verse 13, what kind of concern do you have this morning? Do you have a loved one who ought to be saved? Do you have any problem in your life that you want God's intervention and protection? Who among you needs God's help this morning? Then that person would ought to fast. That person would ought to fast. Maybe you are about to finish school like my big brother, and the road is like, what next after school? It's a big question to answer. You are about to enter into a new venture, and you are wondering what that venture entails. Try fasting, and the Lord will show you the way, and you will never regret. In conclusion, we all cry for the apostolic days, the power that was at work during their days. They never did anything without prayer and fasting. And according to church history, they fasted every Wednesday. And Friday, many of them fasted, even prior to the Lord's Supper, to wait on God, to get themselves prepared. Beloved in the Lord, fasting played an important role in the church growth. Fasting was a regular practice. Therefore, they were full of power to overcome the works of darkness. And if we desire to overcome, then we must also practice that kind of lifestyle. Fasting can transform our prayer life into a richer and a more personal experience than ever before. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? You might have heard a lot about what fasting is and what fasting is not, and the power that goes with it and the blessings thereof. I want you to just commune in your heart and talk to God. Just talk to God about maybe a decision that you think you have to make in your life. That you want to trust Him with fasting. You want to trust Him in prayer, in embarking on that decision. That He will lead you the way. He will show you the exact thing to do. Be glorified, our King of Glory. Be magnified, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your mighty hand that was upon our lives this morning. For Your word that has come to us, O God. Father, we are so much aware of the challenges that goes with fasting. The self-denial, that is not easy for us. Father, yet we come before You asking for Your grace and Your power to empower us, to strengthen us, to face all these challenges. For we know that You are our God, who, Lord, O God, would arise on our behalf when we come before You in fasting. You will take up your shield and your buckler and you begin to defeat every works of the enemy in our life when we come before You in fasting. You will then confound, Lord, our enemies and begin to set their works ablaze when we come before You in fasting. For we know that there is power in fasting. There are blessings in fasting. And when we do it the right way, Lord, we will never regret that we did it. We thank You, Lord. We commit this week unto You, Lord. We ask of Your leading, O God. Ask of Your protection, Lord, that You go with us. You let Your sun shine on us, Lord. You be a shield, Lord, over our lives. And You let, O God, Your favor surround us just like mountains around Jerusalem. That our lives, Lord, would appear as the light in this world, the salt in this life, to bring about Your glory in the mighty name of Jesus.